Thank you very much. Thank to the organizers. They gave me a chance to just share what we have tried to do in the state of Punjab. Punjab is a tiny state in India, northwest part of the country. It's a small state with 1.5% geographical area, and but this state produced 20% or 1/5 of the wheat of the country and almost 11% rice of the country. In the last 50 years, the population of the state has increased 2.65 times, whereas the food grain production has increased 10.8% times vis-a-vis the figure you can see for the whole of the country. And since 1965, with the onset of the green revolution in the country, the tractor population in the state increased from mere 1,000 to 400,000. So you can just see how intensive this farming is going on in this state. Around 84% of the area of the state is cultivated, and out of that, 96% area is flood irrigated. So there is a lot of irrigation being applied, and flood irrigation is supposed to be on the most inefficient way of irrigation. And the cropping intensity is 196%. That's we are almost growing two crops a year on each field. So, but this lot of production has come with a cost, and things are not comfortable. We are not very comfortable. For example, the groundwater is depleting by 1 to 3 feet every year. And when the groundwater is going down, the energy to pump out the water is exponentially increasing. So there are many other issues. Soil health is also deteriorating, and we are using 1.3 million tons of nitrogen and about 344,000 tons of phosphorus every year. So when the state is using so much sources, so it's very, it's important to see how we can improve the efficiency of crop production in that state, which is using so resources so intensively. And if we have to work for the sustainable agriculture, we have to look at how to improve the efficiency. So we try to, there are so many mathematical models people have developed over the years. We try to combine all the models so that we can find some practical solution which can be useful for the farmers or the state policies. So first of all, either to identify, select the already developed models or to develop new mathematical model for that purpose. Then second thing was to demonstrate these models, how these models can be useful for the planners or the end users. And then select best management practices. I will just go in detail. And then this is how we try to use the mathematical model, different mathematical models and developed to help the take the decisions. So based on the framework for defining either a strategy or the already existing practices, we can evaluate a practice and we can have inference engine that can help us to take the decisions so that we can improve the resource use efficiency. So these are the six models which were already developed by different scientists for a period of 13 years, and we tried to combine all the models for estimation of farm inputs to produce the crops at the same level of productivity. But one the most, so these are all sources. This slide is not meant for just reading, just to give an idea how these models have been developed and models have been calibrated, validated. But when we try to use all those models for the final benefit, we saw this energy cost was missing. So the economics is very important when we have to go for the final planning. To find out the cost, we need to model the annual use of machinery, which is very important to calculate the fixed cost of farm machinery. And there's a lot of mechanization in the state. And timeliness of cost and loss of byproduct. These are two costs which are involved, which are unique to the state, and I will just explain what these costs are. So the cost of total inputs and then the total cost of cultivation so that we can find the economically viable solution. Then first is the annual use of a machine. I will not go into the detail of these equations. We used a community approach. We identify a uniform region in the spatially variable system, and we assume that all the machines within that uniform area are uniformly used. So we could find the annual use of machines so that we could find the fixed cost of machinery in each uniform region, sub-region of the state. So these are lengthy equations. I will not go into the depth. Then the timeliness cost. Timeliness cost is for every patient, there is a certain optimum window. For example, for wheat sowing, we have 3 weeks optimum period. If it's delayed after that, then there is a substantial decrease in yield. So depending upon how much machinery is available, and can we use that machinery to plant whole of the wheat within that 3 weeks time window, so that will give the optimum. If we overrun this window, the total time of operation is more than optimum time, then there is a loss. That we call it timeliness loss. And similarly, there is a byproduct loss. For example, farmers are using harvesting wheat with the traditional threshers and the reapers, and the rice straw they are using as a byproduct. But if we try to use a combined harvesters, and about 95% of wheat is harvested with a combined harvester, the farmer will lose the straw, which they use as the animal feed. So loss of that byproduct is also a cost when we try to use another type of thing. So on the basis of all these costs, we can calculate the total cost. And the total cost will be very important when we want to arrive at a certain decision. Now for the resource management, there are two distinct ways we have tried to look into. One is the redefining cropping pattern depending upon the spatial efficiency of resource utilization. This is one approach we can have. Another is if we don't go for the change in cropping pattern, we can use the same cropping pattern and find best management practices to improve the resource utilization. So these are the five criteria. If we don't want to change the cropping pattern because of certain compulsions, there is a growing population and we are growing rice and wheat, we don't want to change the cropping pattern. These are the five criteria we have chosen. How these criteria will change when we try to see the efficiency of a new technology in that region. So the problem is how to accumulate the effect of these criteria of different nature. For example, we cannot directly add diesel to the labor or electricity to water requirements. So to solve that problem, we have tried to calculate the criteria ratios. For each criteria, we make the ratio. This is the present use, and this is the use. If it is the present use, this will be the use of a particular criteria, for example, diesel or the water. If we change to a new technology, so ultimately this will become a ratio and it becomes a number, then we can add all the criteria. So adding all these criteria, we come at the auxiliary objective function. Higher the auxiliary objective function, more efficient a particular technology is, and then we can find out the best management practice in this way. So using all those models I have just discussed, we use this model in three districts of the state. The districts are just like the counties. The state of Punjab has 19 districts. And when we used on, this is based on the net sown area in the district Patiala. If we see the diesel requirement, this is liters per hectare. This is the minimum in a particular block, and this is the maximum. You can see how much variation is per unit area just for one input. Similarly, we try to see the cost. This is 27,000 Indian rupees, and on the same block, in the same district, on another block, this comes out to almost 34,000. Similarly, you can see the water. Water is the most important resource because it is going down by up to 3 feet a year. So in particular block, we are using just 1,200 millimeters, and to grow the same crops in another block, we are using almost 1.5 times of water. There are many reasons we can just see. And similarly, if we talk about the rice is the most water-consuming crop in the state. For example, in this block, this is almost, I'm just close to double. So the idea was if we can shift the cropping pattern from one block to the other block, the major reason here was this state was having very high, high texture soils, whereas the soils here were very, these are heavy soils. The soils here were quite sandy soils, so they need a lot of water. So we can save water if we change the cropping pattern according to the spatial variability within the state. Then you see, depending upon the tractor utilization, this is how many hours a tractor is being used. In the state, you can say this is, 466 hours throughout the year, whereas another block is just about 1.5 times less than that. So that the fixed cost in this block will go 1.5 times, so far as the machinery is only concerned. And in some of the states, because most of the districts in the state, they have machinery more than required. So there is a lot of fixed cost involved in the cooperative production system, and system does not become viable. So if we change, try to change, play with the cropping pattern, the states or the districts, they can plan how much inputs they will require. So it can, these models can also help in planning before the season how much inventory they have to maintain. Then coming to the best management practices, for example, if a farmer has a limited resources to buy a new machine, if he is growing rice, wheat, he can go for no-till drill for wheat for the conservation of tillage. At the same time, for the rice, if he is growing rice, he can go for a purling tool. Now the question is, which machine is more suitable for him? Depending upon the region, we try to evaluate 10 different technologies which are not popular, but scientists are recommending these technologies. So how these technologies can be beneficial for various farmers. Now, we were talking about the auxiliary function. In the auxiliary function, we have used the 5 criteria to see which technology is the best for a particular region or for a particular farmer. Now, how these criteria are important for us, we can give different weight to different criteria. For example, if we are talking about the technology which save water, we can give maximum weightage to the water. But if we want to say, for example, the diesel, and we can give maximum weightage to the diesel. If the economics is the main concern, we can give maximum weightage to this. So we can play with, depending upon which criteria is most important for us. For example, for this state, for the district of Hoshiarpur, if we want to save water and we try to give maximum weightage to the water, these two technologies, which are water-saving technology, were the best technology for these farmers. But at the same time, if we try to save diesel, then these technology came number one for these two blocks because of these technology are very useful in heavier soils to save diesel and energy. So they became the first for these two. But for the other blocks, depending upon because they were having more area under rice than wheat, so these technology were different. So depending upon regional variation, different technology come number one and number two. Now, we were thinking to take this model to the end users. Now, these are the lengthy mathematical equations and may not be easy for the end user to use these models. These models were developed for the last 15 years. So we tried to make simple graphical user interface so that even a farmer or a person with a little bit training can use these models. He will not see those models. He can edit his databases by using these user-friendly windows, and just he can see the results right on the screen. The table that I have just shown, these are the just output of the models. That's why we didn't use histograms or the other graphs. They are just output of these models. So to conclude with, the mathematical model can be used to estimate spatial variation variable farm inputs and to calculate the cost of cultivation. Spatial variation in resource requirement of the various crops can help to reorganize the cropping pattern in a region for resource conservation. We have seen how different regions use water use efficiency vary in different regions. Then the gross resource demand for a region can be successfully estimated even before the cropping season. Then the multi-criteria approach can help to identify best management practice for a given cropping pattern in a uniform sub-region. We have to identify the uniform sub-region within the state which is spatially variable so that we can find the best management practice for each sub-region which is itself uniform. Thank you very much.
That's the way you had happy users going into using your program.
Yeah.
Any questions? Yes?
I'm just curious, what kind of cropping system do you use for rice? Is it like continuous flooding or intermittent flooding?
Yeah, this state is a dry state basically, so we pump out water to maintain, keep the ground submerged at least for 6 to 8 weeks. And before planting, we go for the special operation we call the puddling. We make the suspension of water and soil with these rotary tools, and so that water remains suspended for soil clay particles remain suspended in the water, and we make it top layer so that ground infiltration goes down. So we are using groundwater, keep the land submerged for at least 6 weeks.
Thank you. No nursery, you use a direct planting?
Yes, we transplant nursery. Yeah, we cannot go for direct planting because it's added another 40 days. So we plant nursery for 40 days in a very small area, and that nursery can be transplanted into 80 times area after about 40 days.
See, because the reason why I'm asking that question is, the research has shown that using intermittent flooding versus continuous, I think you save a lot more water using intermittent flooding versus using continuous flooding. So that's why I'm asking that.
Yeah, if we go for intermittent flooding, there were two problems. One, there was no weedicide available which can be effective after post-emergence. When we are flooding the area, there were very effective weedicides we can just put on the surface of the water, and they will not let any weeds come out. Second thing, some of the heavier soil, if we try to go for irrigation after, say, 10 days or something like, there are a lot of cracks in the soil, and water will not move into the field. So we have to keep it submerged at least for 6 weeks, and when there is a lot of canopy and there is shadow and it does not dry and does not crack.
Thank you, everyone, and thanks for everyone for staying, and
thank
hope
you.
It was enjoyable. Thank you, Dr.